Praise the Lord. Good morning.
Good morning.
I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and I will come before his courts with my praise. With my heart will I bless thee, O Lord. I bless thee out of the land of the living, even this morning, Lord, because the living, they shall praise you. But the dead cannot praise you. Therefore shall we praise you, Lord, today from the rising of the sun. And may the praises of God be in our mouth throughout the day, even until the going down of the sun. And out of the womb of the morning, such as it is now, let us worship the Lord in the beauties of holiness, that he may command upon us the dew of youth. Glory to God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for such a time as this. We pray, Lord, as people begin to join us in this room, let their hearts be ready to praise and to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. For all things were created, we and everything else were created for thy pleasure and for thy glory. They were, they are, and were created. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the peace of God that you have promised us to keep us in all situations. Thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Let our minds be stayed upon you this morning, and I will rejoice in the Lord my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Glory to God. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. The garments of salvation. Mm-hmm. He has clothed me with those, and I will rejoice in the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I will bless the Lord also at all times. His mm-hmm. praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And let us just come before his presence with the words of this Psalm 67. I'm going to just read through it quickly as we come before the presence of the Lord. It said, God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health. Glory to God. Among all nations, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all thy people praise thee, and let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. That's the second time he's saying that. Let all the people praise thee. That's the third time. Then shall the earth yield her increase. Wow. So yielding of increase is even tied to praising the Lord. And God, even our God, shall bless us when we praise him. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear before him. So let's praise the Lord. You know, take a few minutes as you come this morning. Glory to God. Let's praise the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy, O brethren, I say, you are worthy, O Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy, O angels are singing. You are worthy, O Lord.
O Lord.
Worthy, you are worthy, oh, worthy. You are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy, you are worthy, O angels are singing. You are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy, you are worthy, O the sisters are singing. You are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy, you are worthy, O the brothers are singing. You are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy, you are worthy, oh, the children are saying, you are worthy, oh, Lord, oh, you are worthy, you are worthy, oh, Lord, oh, you are worthy, Lord, you are worthy, Lord, you are worthy, Lord, worthy to be praised, you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Worthy to be praised. Angels are saying, you are worthy, oh Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy, oh Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy, oh Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. Oh, oh, hallelujah.
Yes, it's
worthy. Thank you, Jesus. What manner of man is this? What manner of God we have? You God of second chances. Oh, yes, we talked about him being the God of the 11th hour, even yesterday. Oh, glory to God. He is the God of the 11th hour. Doesn't matter to him. That's just from our perspective. He's the God of every day. He's the God of every hour. But even when it looks like things are just far too late, glory to God, he can pull out a surprise. And Father, we just love you and thank you on this morning for all of your goodness and all of your mercies. I will sing, the scripture says, the psalmist of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, O Lord, through all generations. Ah, let us sing of the goodness of the Lord this morning. Let us bless his holy name. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the room. Honey, let's pray. Go ahead and pray, and amen. Then we'll get started.
Praise hallelujah.
Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. Welcome. Welcome. Lord, we thank you this morning. We bless your name. We enter into your presence with praise and with worship. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up in the land of the living. Thank you, Lord, because we had a restful night. Lord, your word said you will make even our sleep to be sweet, Lord. You give it your beloved rest and sleep. Thank you for giving us rest and sleep and waking us up this morning. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus as we enter into today. We ask, Lord, that you put this day under us, O Lord, that we have victory over this day in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, for this room, Lord, that we have started this morning. Lord, we thank you for the topic, Lord, our children's, God's heritage. Indeed, our children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is the reward. Thank you, Lord, because you are a good God that never fail in your word. You will reward all those, Lord, that are married with the fruit of the womb. It is a promise, Lord, and it cannot miss. Blessed be thy name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for everything you're going to download upon us today. We commit unto you, O Lord, my husband, the man that's of God that is going to speak. We pray, Lord, that he will speak like an oracle of God. Lord, that your word will be downloaded upon him. Lord, that our ears, Lord, will be open to hear the word of God, and it will do good unto us in the name of Jesus. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. We commit again this room into your hands. As many as you have appointed to be here, Lord, we pray that you will bring them in. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Over to you. Good morning.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. So let's and share the room. I'm going to start in just a little bit. You know, ask people to come in and join us. I believe the Lord is going to bless us. Well, you know, it's amazing how quickly time just rolls by. You know, I mean, it seemed like just 2 or 3 days ago that we started the month of October. Because I still remember the first day we started this early morning room. It was like just a few days ago. You know, and it's already a whole month gone. My goodness. Wow. Now, time doesn't wait for anyone. You know, so that's why the Bible says we must redeem that time. We must redeem the time. We cannot let time just go by anyhow. You know, and time is one of that you don't see it until it's gone. Yeah, you can't see it until it's gone. And time catches up, you know. People say time catches up with people. Well, you know, you can't see that time until it's gone. You know, so whatever our hand finds to do, let's do it, even now, because, you know, we don't know what time shall be upon the earth. We don't know what evil shall be upon the earth, not upon us, but, you know, we don't know what evil shall be anywhere, you know. So, you know, now is the time to get in and do what we need to do. People say, make hay while the sun shines. Well, you know, there is a way that the scripture even kind of talks about that. You know, not exactly directly, but kind of talks about it. Even for, say, look, you know, it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth, you know. So talks about that in Lamentation, I think it's 2:27. Say that, look, or 3:3, I forget where it is. You know, a man should bear the yoke in his youth. You know, when we're young, when we have the strength of the Lord, you know, that's the time to do what we need to do. Okay. We need to do it and do it well. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Lamentation 3:27. Lamentation 3:27. It is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. Glory to God. So what does that mean? Well, that just means that, you know, while we are young and still have the energy, we need to do the hardest things while we are young. You know, so we don't need to wait until we are old and feeble and can't do anything. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, I believe that everything, you know, at least in my life that I have seen, that I've experienced, you know, generations, and even looking in the Bible, most of the time, you know, God, you know, starts with people when they are young, not when they are old and feeble, you know, God will call them when they're young. You know, God called Samuel when he was a little boy, you know, he was young, you know, and so forth like that. David, you know, was anointed when he was young. Everybody like that, you know. There were just a few people that were called when they were a little older, but not even very old. You know, Moses, God called him, you know, when he was, I mean, when he was 40, he began to run away from Egypt, spent a few more years in the old, in the desert. You know, there were some things he learned in Egypt that God had to get out of him. Spent another 40 years in there and so forth. But David, Moses, it was a different kind. You know, God was still working mightily in him, you know, from year 80 to year 120 and all of that. You know, even at 120 years old, I would say that his natural force was not abated. And his eyes were not dim. But not everyone was like that. You know, some of them, their strength failed them when they were older. You know, they needed to start out young. You know, John the apostle said, look, you young men, I've written unto you because you are strong. That's right. You overcome the devil. You know, the youth, you know, have strength. You know, we should do these things while we're young. I remember I was called as a young man. You know, I was only... You know, I believe I gave my life to the Lord when I was 17. At the age of 19, the Lord blessed me with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And by age 20, Lord, I called me into the ministry. I mean, I was in the ministry as young as 20. I grew up in Nigeria, in Ibadan, and in Lagos. And when I was 20 years old, I think that was around 74 or 75. You know, I preached my first open air crusade in Roe Park, Lagos. Can you imagine? 20 years old. I wasn't quite 21. It wasn't my 21st birthday yet. You know, and the Lord, and that was only the first. That was not the last. You know, at 20 years old. I mean, just look around today and see people who are in their 20 year old. What are they doing? So we're going to talk about some of that today, you know, and after today, you should share this room with your children. Let them listen to it, because I know they are not here and their children won't get up early and come to these kind of meetings. But your parents that are here have a responsibility, you know, so, you know, the, you know, just look around, you know, I don't know what the youth are doing today. Some of them are really on fire for the Lord, you know, and they are, you know, doing great things in their own way. But for the most part, the generation as a whole is just not a, you know, the scripture talks about a generation that doesn't even, you know the Lord, you know, and wow. You know, so we don't want that to be the case, you know, for our children. We don't want the knowledge of God, you know, to depart. You know, we want to make sure that we are, you know, sharing the knowledge of God with our generation, right? You know, we need to pass on the knowledge of God, you know, to the coming generations, you know. Yes, we pass it on. We must make sure that they don't, you know, forget these things. And we tell them of all of the good things that the Lord is doing. We need to also, you know, give them, you know, room to grow, you know, my goodness, you know, as we raise our children and as we do these things, you know, the Lord will bless them too. You know, we set a good example, you know, to our children and let God, you know, inspire their hearts, you know, and some of them also need to step out of the shadows, you know, so, and, you know, find their own footing. You know, so we're going to be talking about some of those things. We're going to be talking about some powerful promises for our next generation, especially our children. We're going to be talking about that today. Glory to God. You know, we need to prepare, you know, the next generation, to make sure that, you know, they are following the Lord. We need to pass our faith on, you know, we need to instruct the next generation. You know, we can't, you know, we just can't leave it up to chance or leave it up to society or whoever to teach them. You know, that's not the way it should work. You know, we got to, do all that we can. We ought to do all that we can. There is a scripture, I think, in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, that said that, look, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them that knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Let me see if I can post that scripture. Or maybe somebody can help me post it. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. One generation passed away, and another generation came up, and they didn't know the Lord. Despite all of the things, that the Lord had done, the amazing things that the Lord had done. Why was that? Thank you for posting the scripture, Stapro. Appreciate you. Why was it? Despite the fact that God commanded them to teach their children to do all of these things and so on and so forth. And despite the fact that, look, there was even, the children were even the ones that went into the promised land. The parents that didn't believe the Lord, they all died in the wilderness. The younger ones, went into the, and before you know it, the knowledge of God just faded away after one generation. the next generation did not know the Lord. This is serious. They just didn't know the Lord. My goodness. Wow. Despite all those miracles, and despite all the commandments of the man of God, Moses telling them that when you sit in the house, you should do this and that. We're going to read those scriptures this morning. But I'm just setting our mind up for, what we want to talk about today. And I want you to share the room. Let's share the room again. Invite people into the room. Just click, 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 invite. See whoever the Holy Spirit will blow into here, because everybody needs to hear this. If you are ever a parent, you need to hear this. And anybody aspiring to be a parent, they need to hear this. And this message is not for children today. It's actually for parents, even though it's about children, but it's for parents. And we have a tremendous responsibility, because the knowledge of God is fading away. Sadly, it is fading away. One generation, the Bible says in Psalm 145, one generation shall praise thy name, declare thy works to another. Well, is that really happening? Are we making sure it's happening? Are we transitioning the knowledge of God to the next gen? This is so important. We shall, we must do that. It's a responsibility that we have. And God has some tremendous promises concerning our children. So I'm going to be talking about that today. And before I get going, let me just welcome everybody that's in the room. Sister Julia, Sister Alexis, Sister Grace, God bless you. Pearl, Brother Gbenga, good to see you. Sister Sholakwe, oh, good to have you. Praise God. Well, she is my older sister, lives in Nigeria. She's joined us this morning. So we welcome you. We welcome you also, Mommy, and everyone as we are going. I know my wife will be back in a minute. She had to go do the other 15-minute declaration room, and she'll be back in just a bit. So we welcome you this morning. It's been an amazing time that the Lord's been helping us in this room. Today is important for those of you who are just joining. This is a conversation and a message today that every parent must hear. Every parent. While it is about children, it's actually directed to parents. So we will be looking at, God's blessings for our children, but more so God, the responsibilities of the parents. The disparity between this generation and the next, that gap, the generation gap that's in between, one generation does not speak, does not speak the language of the other. It's just amazing. It's almost, sometimes you look at it, it's almost as if we're serving two different gods. The older generation is serving one God. The younger generation is serving a different God. You know, and there's this big generational gap in between, you know. And why is that? You know, why is that? You know, so we got to close that gap this morning. Praise God. Before we go any further, let me stop right here and just pray. I feel the prompting of the Spirit, you know, because, you know, I don't want your mind to be distracted. You know, God is fixing to tell us something that is very important, and we got to know it, you know. So would you pray with me this morning and then just ask the Lord to infuse our minds with the Holy Spirit. Glory to God, you know. Glory to God. I discern something in the Spirit, that we need to be concerned about today, you know. But Lord, I just take authority over whatever is going on in the spirit realm, you know. Let their minds of the people be right here in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I rebuke any interference in the room this morning, because this message is so critical. You know, so we're going to be bridging the generational gap. We're going to be talking about blessings, you know, that God has for the children of God. Glory to God. You know, so, you know, let's look at some quick background here, you know, of how the Lord, you know, expects us to bridge the generational gap. You know, I'm going to start with that, you know, in case you say, well, what is the generational gap? Well, I'm going to start with that. And I'm going to talk about declaring the generation of the Lord and what we should do for next gen. I'm going to talk about that and all. We're going to cover quite a few things, you know, so stay right here in the name of the Lord. You know, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6, you know, we're going to start there. And the Lord said, you know, this is a message, a prophetic declaration for the end of the age, the end time, as we are here right now. This is the end. You know, the Lord promised that the spirit of Elijah, the Elijah anointing, would return. You know, from verse 5, he says, Malachi 4, 5 and 6, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So there's a big generational gap between the fathers and the children. Well, fathers is all just parents, not just fathers, but fathers especially. You know, sadly, there are not too many men in the room now. So if you know some men, ping them into the room, because they need to hear this. You know, a lot of this is on men, actually. You know, it's on men, because the man, the Bible says, if the good man of the house would have watched, didn't say good woman, if the good man of the house would have watched in the spirit, he would not allow his house to have been broken up. You know, so a lot of responsibility is on the man, you know, and the man needs to be the priest in the house. But when there is no man, then the woman also needs to be the priest in the house, you know. So, but, you know, everybody needs to hear this, every parent. But there's an anointing of grace that God is bringing. There's a reconciliatory anointing at the end of the times that God will bring to close the gap between the fathers and the children. And it will start with the fathers. That's right. First, turn the heart of the fathers to the children, you know, and then the children to the fathers. It's in that progression. You know, the parents must come down from their high horse and begin to figure out what this next gen is all about. You know, many of us don't have a clue, you know. I mean, we are from the old school and we just stick to our old guns. That's not going to work. You know, we got to carry this young generation along. Remember, what we read in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. Sadly, you know, after one generation passed away, the next generation did not know the Lord. The knowledge had faded. We want to make sure that that doesn't happen in our time. And it is happening. It's fading away. You know, this generation that's coming behind us, you know, it's already compromised, you know. And, you know, if we don't really step up and do something, you know, we're losing our children to the world. Now, that's very sad, but it is happening, you know. So, you know, this is the topic that we're going to be talking about today. Glory to God. You know, so how that we must, you know, we must, you know, look, yes, the old, good old way is good. You know, that good old way is good. But you have to use knowledge, you know, in how to bring this young generation that's coming behind us along. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 talks about the good old path, the old ways. You know, it's good, you know. I mean, there's nothing like the good old ways. That's it, you know, because today it's all compromised. You know, people don't love the Lord today like they used to do in the old, good old days. You know, so we know that the good old days, the good old fashioned, you know, good old fashioned Holy Ghost type of believing is really good. So, you know, and, you know, some of us are like that, you know, we just stuck in our good old ways, but we don't understand that, you know, we got to carry this young generation along. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein and ye shall find rest to your souls. You know, that, so that's the invitation that God gave. And we must give the invitation to our children as well. But we must do it with knowledge and with grace and with understanding. Otherwise, we'll run them off. And if you run them off, you know, my goodness, you know, that's not a good place to be. We do not want to run off these children. We want them to come into the knowledge of God. We don't want these things to fade, you know, to fade away, you know. And, you know, like I said, sadly, the knowledge of God is fading away. My goodness. So where are we today? Well, it is important that we also set, you know, we set the presets. We put in guardrails, you know. The parents must do that. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28 says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. You know, so, you know, there is something that the young folks need to listen to as well. You know, sometimes these young folks, they think they got it all. They got all the answers and, you know, older folks don't know anything. Well, remove not, you know, the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. There's a reason why they set those things in place. Guardrails to help you stay out of trouble. I'm saying it like this in case some young people listen to this. And you should share this room when we are over. When it's over, we share the recording with your young ones to listen to it. Because, you know, they need to know, you know, the ways of the Lord, you know, and they need to know that, you know, I mean, Bible says, look, there's a generation that is wise in their own eyes. There's a generation that does not even, you know, care about the Lord. You know, they think that they've got it. You know, they think that they've got all the answers, you know, but they don't, you know, but likewise also, you know, the older generation think that they got all the answers, but we don't either. You know, the only person that's got all the answers is the Lord, right? It's all the only person that got all the answers is the Lord. Proverbs 30 and 11, you know, gives us a sad outlook, a very sad outlook to, you know, how things are. You know, there is a generation in verse 11 to 14, Proverbs 30. There's a generation that cursed their father and did not bless their mother. Wow. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet they are not washed from their filthiness. I mean, that sounds to me like this next gen. You know, there is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eye lifted up. Well, you know, that's this next gen. So we got to do something about it. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, You know, I mean, they're ready to cut, you know, talk back, do this, do whatever and all that. You know, hey, you know, their jaw, teeth as nice to divide the poor from the earth, needy from among men and all that stuff. But, you know, we got to make sure that that's not our next gen. We got to make sure, you know, maybe it will be some generation later, but it's better not be my following generation. I have a responsibility to children and children's children. That's what the Bible says. Children and children's children. You know, so we're going to be talking about this. And I invite you to share the room because it's going to be amazing what the Lord is going to tell us. So I'm laying a background for how to close the generational gap. And then we're going to, you know, we're going to bring out some promises and some scriptures for the parents to use to command the blessing of the Lord upon their children. The blessing of the Lord upon their children. You know, so now there was a faith that we knew at one time. It's called the good old ways, which I just read in Jeremiah 6 and 16. And Jude also telling them, the book of Jude, verse 3, telling the people, look, we got to honestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So we cannot let the faith, you know, just dissipate away into the air, you know, or gradually fade away. We have got to make sure. That's right. We've got to make sure that we pass these things around. Glory to God. You know, so let's look at, you know, some of the, you know, scriptures and the commandments and things that the Lord gave, you know, and let's look at some examples of people that did it right and some people that didn't do it very well. You know, so we're going to look at, you know, both ways, and then we're going to turn around and, you know, do some powerful impartation. You know, over our children, you know, so it's important that you stay tuned. Don't go away. We got a lot of things, you know, to share this morning, you know. So while we are talking on the subject of, you know, the children, the parents, the responsibility of the children, responsibility of the parents, you know, and so forth, you know, let's consider some of the instructions, you know, that, you know, and some of the patterns that we see in the scriptures. Here's all David said. David said in Psalm 71, I will go in the strength of the Lord. That's verse 16. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Remember, I was talking about, you know, God, you know, grabbing the youth when they're still young. Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous walks. My goodness. And then he said, look, now when I'm old and gray-headed, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation, the generation that he's in, and thy power to the everyone that is to come. That means the next generation. You know, so he was determined in his heart that he was going to show, you know, that to, you know, not only his current generation, but the generation, you know, that was yet to come. Glory to God. You know, there are some words that God gives us, you know, to both generations. It is very important that we know these words. So I'm going to call out some of these words today as we look at these things before we come to the blessings for our children. You know, we have to first of all understand, you know, that God doesn't want this disparity that we have now, you know. So here's an admonition from Moses in Deuteronomy 32. It says, remember the days of old, verse 7. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. You know, so again, you know, the children, you will be asking their parents, and the parents, you take time to show them. Ask thy father, will show thee, as thy elders, and they will tell you. You know, when the Lord did some incredible things, he began to tell them, you know, and so forth like that. You know, so the Lord is a portion to his people, you know, and Jacob is a lot of his inheritance. Well, we're going to come to how God looks at children in a minute. Children, the Bible says, you know, that, you know, this is, you know, children are the heritage of the Lord. And we're going to come to that in a minute. But I, you know, I'm just setting, you know, setting some precepts here for parents. You know, Ephesians, you know, also tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, verses 4 or so, that we, as parents, we have some responsibilities, right? We got responsibilities to our children. We should not provoke our children. You know, there are many ways you provoke these children. I mean, if you don't use wisdom, carry them along, you just run them off. You know, no, we cannot run them off. We bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, we cannot leave the children behind. You know, say no one left behind. Well, we cannot leave the children behind. We got to make our, you know, Moses said, look, our men, our wives, and our children, we are going, all of us, to worship the Lord. You know, he told Pharaoh, you know, we will go. Pharaoh said, no, all the men alone should go. David said, Moses said, no, we will go with our wives, and we will go with our children. You know, so we're not going to leave anyone behind. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the next generation is being left behind. I remember when we were younger, many years ago, you know, we used to drag our children to the night vigil when they were young. You know, it didn't matter whether they wanted to go or not. We'd drag them to the night vigil. We'd lay them on the floor. We'd put on those mosquito coil or whatever back there in Nigeria in those days. And they would be there, you know, and we drag them to service. We drive them everywhere, you know, and as, you know, and we start to put these things in their minds, you know, just like Proverbs 22 and 6 says, look, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, you know, and when they are older, they will not depart from it. Well, even if they depart, they will come back. We're going to read that in a minute. We're going to read some of these promises, you know, so. Yeah, responsibilities for parents. You know, after a while, when those children start to grow up and get into their teenage years, then they are the smartest people in the world. You know, then they don't think that their parents know anything. You know, and so on and so forth. And the influence of the communities that they are in, very terrible influence, you know, begins to creep up on their minds. But God gave us responsibilities, you know, over our children. You know, we got to carry them along. You know, everything that we do, it's got to be, you know, we carry our children along. Now, when they are grown, of course, we can't carry them along like we used to do, but we carry them along in prayers. You know, there, yeah, God has given some incredible power to parents, you know, pray over their children, you know, and bless their children in the name of the Lord and so forth. We're gonna cover this in a minute. But first, I want to lay this background, you know, to know that, you know, parents have a charge, you know, to, you know, bring up children in the fear and nurture of the Lord. We got this charge. We got to do it. We don't have a choice. You know, we got to do it. You know, that's, you know, we must bring them up in the fear of the Lord, you know, and so forth. You know, so, you know, now let's read Psalm 78. And we will read verses 2 to 4 of Psalm 78, verses 2 to 4. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, which our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works, which he had done. We must not, you know, hide them from our children. For the Lord established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel. He commanded our fathers, you know, and so forth, that we should make them known to our children, that the generation to come might know them, even their children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their own children. So you see the progression. This is so key. You know, first, we hear them from our fathers. Next, we leave those things ourselves, you know, we, you know, embrace those things and those principles ourselves, and then we pass it on to our children, and they must pass it on to their children. You know, this is a responsibility. You know, Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, look, you know, hold the faith which you have heard. I know the faith was in your mother and it was in your grandmother. You know, I mean, he, you know, look, they passed it down. They passed it down. You know, so we have got to pass it down. Well, God doesn't have any grandchildren. We know that. We are the ones that have grandchildren. Each one of these children must have a direct relationship with God. But it's our responsibility to make sure. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved and thy house. You know, you cannot be saved. You know, your house is your children. It's not, we have no control over our siblings and all that stuff. If, you know, that's not your house really. But, you know, God will save them too. We pray for them. But your children must be saved. You know, and there are some promises point blank that we will be reading about that today. But I'm first laying this foundation, you know, of how it is important for the parents to stand in the gap and to carry their children along. Acts 16 and 31 will tell you that when you are saved, it will be you and your family that needs to be saved. Thou shalt be saved and thy house. So we have that responsibility and we must understand that from the Lord. You know, there are many things, you know, that the Lord wants to do between, you know, both generations, you know. But, you know, today, generations that we have, unfortunately, they are disobedient to parents. You know, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read about that. You know, it talks about, you know, in these latter times, you know, these things that are happening, you know, things are coming that, you know, they just don't want to. They don't want to obey parents anymore. You know, they're just disobedient, you know, to parents. He said, look, for this know that in the latter days, perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. So we know that this is the age. This is the spirit of the age. They will be disobedient to parents. But look, we have a responsibility to rein them in. You know, we have a responsibility like that. You know, praise God. You know, well, let me start going into some of these promises that, you know, that God has for us. You know, we must declare the generation. You know, the way that God was dealing with every generation. You know, if we read the story of the children of Israel, how God dealt with their generations. You know, let me go through that quickly before I go into these promises. You know, I mean, how God dealt with each of these generations that came one by one by one by one. And it was important, you know, and, you know, everybody in the house, you know, had to be carried along. God started with, in Exodus chapter 12, he told them in verse 7, he said, look, take the blood. Strike it on the doorpost or the doorpost of your house, you know, and so forth. And we're talking about them, you know, everyone in the house, you can't let them go out. You know, they must stay in the house and keep them in the house, put the blood upon the doorpost, keep them in the house. And, you know, strangely enough, to be honest, I believe with all my heart that if any of those Egyptians had come into any of those houses that had the blood, even though it was a, you know, a house of the children of Israel, if any of the Egyptians had entered in under that blood, they would too have been saved, you know. So, but look, here are some commandments that he gave them. Exodus 27 and verse 21. He said, in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons, you know, it's a generational thing. You know, people talk about generational curses all the time. Well, I don't care about that. I already taught that in a room a few weeks ago. But I will want to care about generational blessings, how we must order the generation after us. You know, the Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. This is Exodus 27 and 21. And it shall be a statute forever unto their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. You know, so, look, we have a responsibility, you know, to our children's children and so on and so forth like that. You know, Psalm 145 verse 4 will tell you the same thing, you know, that, you know, we have a responsibility to make sure that the praises of the Lord, you know, are going from generation to generation. You know, that's what the psalmist says. And one generation shall praise thy works to another. You know, we got to make sure that this thing is carried on. You know, one generation shall praise thy works to another. 145 verse 4. And shall declare thy mighty acts. You know, so it's not just, we must make sure it doesn't die with our generation. Listen to this in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. You know, it says, look, this is what each parent, this is the declaration of each parent. You know, it says, look, I and the children that God has given me are for what? For signs and wonders. So, you know, it's not just, you are not the only one that are for signs and wonders. It's got to be you and your children. It can't be just you. The children cannot be left behind. You know, whatever great thing the Lord is doing in your life, that great thing must be passed on to your children. And they must even become greater. I'm going to be talking about that in a bit. The children must be greater. Hallelujah. The generation of them that seek the Lord. My goodness. One generation shall praise thy works to another. That generation that seek the Lord. It's all over the Psalms. What is the generation? We got to make sure that as our generation is seeking the Lord, we make sure that, you know, other generations that come after us, especially our immediate generation and their children, because it talks about children's children, you know, so we got to make sure that, you know, the blessing of the Lord is upon them as well. Listen to this. You know, there's a generation that seek the face of the Lord in, you know, Psalm 24 and verse 6. Well, you know, we got to make sure as we are seeking the face of the Lord that we command the generations after us to also seek the face of the Lord. It's very important, you know, that we do that. So let's look at some examples in the Bible of some people that did it well and some people that didn't do it very well. You know, many examples come to mind, even in as early as, you know, Adam, you know, teaching his children the ways of the Lord. Well, I don't know if he did it very well or not, but at least one of them called Enoch, and I've spoken about this sometime last week, you know, at least one of them called Enoch figured something out, perhaps from some of the stories that Adam was telling him, you know, and things like, you know, and Adam, you know, encouraging him to seek after the Lord, you know, and he pursued the Lord until, you know, something tremendous happened in his life. You know, we see that as early as that. Then we see the story of Abraham. You know, God said point blank in Genesis 18 and 19 that I know this man, Abraham, that he will command his generation after him, he'd command his children, you know, to follow the Lord. You know, this was a charge, you know, and it was a testimony, you know, that God was giving about Abraham. Can I say this to any of the parents and ask the fathers and the children, I mean, and the parents, can God say this about you? That he knows you, especially the fathers, you know, that you will command your children and your household, you know, anyone that's in your house, whether they are a guest, whether they are, you know, whoever. If they are in your house, they're your house. I know him, Genesis 18 and 19, that he will command his children and his household. And Abraham had a large household. He had servants. He had this and he had that. Command all his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that we have spoken of him. Look, there's certain responsibilities, even for you to even be blessed, is what we are hearing here. For Abraham to be blessed, it was important for him to command his children and his household after him. But the Lord said, I know he would do it, because God already saw his heart, and God saw the future. You know, but can God say that about you? I pray that that's what God's testimony about me is. What is God's testimony about you concerning your children? Can God say of you, I know him and I know her, that she will command her children after the Lord? Can God say that of you? Well, God said it of Abraham, you know, and Abraham became a mighty, you know, and his generations after him, you know that, you know, Isaac, you know, and Jacob and all of them, you know, I mean, they were, you know, and God gave power to each parent to bless their children, you know, I mean, just bless their children. You know, Bible says in Hebrews 11, he said, by faith, you know, Jacob blessed all the sons of Joseph, blessed his own children, leaning upon his staff, worshiping, leaning upon. I mean, God's put power in the mouth of the parents to bless their children. I'm going to be doing that in a bit. You know, well, let's get there. I'm getting ahead of myself here. You know, Abraham was good in commanding his children after the Lord and his household. Now, Eli, on the other hand, was not so good. You know, so we're bringing our examples of people who were good in bringing their children up in the fear of the Lord, and others who were not so good. Now, Eli, unfortunately, was not so good in bringing up his children, you know, in the sight of the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, we see verses 11 to 14, that God began to tell even the young, let me just read this, you know, not only Eli, you know, but Saul also, you know, that the Lord, you know, would talk to here. You know, the Lord said to Saul, you know, let me read this first before the other one. I got these scriptures confused. Let me read this one first. This one here is where the Lord, you know, said to Saul, you know, that because he did not command, I mean, he did not, that the Lord would have established his kingdom forever. What does it mean to establish his kingdom? Well, that means when the Lord would have the things that God would have done, you know, for him, right? God would have established his kingdom, you know, in children and children and children. You know, that's how, you know, God did it in the olden days. It was children, one child after the other. And it was one child after the other. I mean, sorry, one child after the father and one child after the father. You know, that's how God, you know, did the, you know, brought the things about, you know, that they had, you know, but, you know, they didn't always follow through. You know, they did not always follow through. You know, so, let's read 1 Samuel chapter 3. That's the one I wanted to read. You know, 1 Samuel chapter 3. The Lord said to Samuel, verse 11. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11. The Lord said to Samuel, behold, I would do a thing in Israel, you know, the which both ears of everyone that hear it shall tingle, right? So that's 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11. And he started to speak about Eli. He said, look, in that day, I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken against his house. And when I begin, I will also make an end. The Lord is not going to slack off. He will finish it off. You know, and he said, look, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. He knew these things, you know, and the children of Eli, they were just doing all kinds of things, you know, taking the offering that was supposed to be for the priests, you know, messing around with the women, doing all kinds of things, and they were just doing all this. And Eli knew this, but he did not do anything to restrain them. Yeah, and God was holding him responsible, and those children were grown children. They were grown children. Yet God was holding Eli responsible. Wow. Let's think about that. You know, sometimes we think that, oh, just because they are grown, you know, that's, they're on their own. Well, no. In this case, these children of Eli were grown children, and yet God held Eli responsible because he did not restrain his children. You know, Eli was, you know, a priest, and his children were supposed to be priests after him, you know, but the, his children, they were just messing around. They were tormenting the people. They were doing all kinds of crazy things, you know, and Eli did not restrain them, but he knew about it. But God said, well, because you knew about it and you didn't restrain them, you know, God was going to judge him. And you saw, you know, God eventually judged them, you know. I mean, not only did God judge Eli, I mean, judge his children. I mean, you know, they died all in one day and everything like that. You know, sad, sad story, you know, that came upon them there. So that's not the place where we want to be. We want to make sure that we are teaching our children and restraining them when they are doing the wrong thing. You know, as long as they are still, you still have authority over them, you know, if they are in your sphere of influence, when they are still living at home, or you still have a way to, you know, connect with them, you know, then they are your responsibility. You know, and you must pass this knowledge onto them. It's so important. You know, they did do it. You know, David was a man, you know, also that tried to teach his, you know, his child the way of the Lord. In the book of 1 Chronicles 22, the whole chapter, you know, David tried to make Solomon ready for following the Lord. You know, David wanted to build the house of the Lord, right? But the Lord said, no, you're not going to do it. You know, and so David, because the Lord told him that he wasn't going to build the house, he just started to make preparations, you know, for Solomon to build the house. It was going to prepare the next gen. So I'm going to talk a little bit about preparing the next gen for the great task that is ahead. You know, so David was going to prepare Solomon, his son, for the great task that is ahead. You know, David prepared iron in abundance. You know, 1 Chronicles 22, verses 1 to 3, he prepared trees, prepared iron. Verse 4, he did all this. Then verse 5, you know, he said to Solomon, you know, I mean, he said concerning Solomon, he said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, called it magnificent, of fame and glory throughout all countries. You know, I mean, the work that Solomon is going to do is going to be tremendous, going to be great. So I got to make preparation, and I got to make sure that, you know, this young man is ready. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly, you know, before his death. You know, all this stuff, people thought that Solomon did all those great things. No, David was actually the one. He prepared all that stuff. You know, of course, Solomon did reach out to, you know, the leaders of Lebanon and so forth for wood and all that. But, you know, David did a tremendous store that he prepared. And so when he did all of that, he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him. That's right. He charged him, said, look, you are going to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. And he didn't ask him if he wants to do it. He told him, you're going to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. Verse 6. And so verse 7. And Solomon said to, David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the living God. But the word of the Lord came to me to say that, look, I have shed blood a great deal and made wars and, you know, and so forth. So you're not going to build a house unto my name because you shed a lot of blood. But a son which shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, for I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. You know, for his name shall be Solomon. God even told him ahead of time. You know, I will give him peace and quietness unto his days. He shall build an house for my name. You know, and God claimed that boy also. So he shall be my son. I will be his father. I will establish throne and all that. You know, and the Lord even said, look, if he sins, I will chastise him, but I will not destroying for David's sake. You know, now, so David charged his son. He said, now, my son, the Lord be with you. In order for the Lord to establish your throne, you do this thing that I'm commanding you today. You be strong. You build the house of the Lord. You do this. The Lord give you wisdom and understanding. Give you charge over Israel that you may keep the law of the Lord. You know, then thou shalt prosper. David was commanding Solomon. Thou shalt prosper if you take key to fulfill the judgments of the Lord, which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. This is verse 13, you know, and so forth. You know, and said, look, don't be dismayed. Be of good courage. He strengthened the hand of Solomon before he died. I mean, this is a father that was preparing the next gen. And he told him a lot of things, made preparation for him, you know, both in physical, you know, preparing things for him to do this great work, but also in mentally preparing him and charging him to follow the Lord. Now, did he always follow? Probably not. You know, but, you know, he paid for it because he didn't follow. But nevertheless, David did his part. You know, Solomon didn't always follow. In fact, his heart went after strange women and God split the kingdom even in his days. You know, but, you know, for David's sake, you know, the Lord still held on to some promises, you know, and so forth like that. But you know that David, you know, did a lot of preparation. You know, David did a lot of preparation and he even commanded the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son. In verse 17, David said to them, he said, look, David commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son. I mean, David was making sure the next gen were positioned for success. Now, let me say this right here. Success is in succession. Success is in succession. The right succession. Psalm 115 and verse 14 says, the Lord shall bless you more and more. But he didn't stop there. He said, you and your children. That is real success. When that success is passed on to the next gen, you know, you and your children must be blessed more and more. Praise God. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. What good is it if the Lord is increasing me and he doesn't increase my children? You know, increasing my children is a real blessing, you know, that because that's, you know, that success is passed on to succession. And so this gen must make way also for that next gen, you know, to come into their own by, you know, the training them in the way of the Lord, you know, and all of these things, you know. So now let me go. I think I put enough. I said enough about that and so forth. Let me go to these promises, you know, that, you know, God has for us, you know, concerning, you know, how we must bless our children and the way that God even looks at our children, you know. So let's go to that, you know, and it is important, very, very important, you know, that we do this, you know. So we're going to the next, you know, we're going to go into the next set of things where we will be talking about the, our generations to come, what God thinks of them and what we must do, you know. But before I do that, let me just read two more verses, you know, in Exodus 29 and 42, the Lord commanded an ordinance throughout all the generations, you know, of Israel. He said, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations. You know, so how shall it be throughout the generations? Well, the only way it's going to be is one generation shall praise thy work to another. You know, one generation must pass it on to the next person. It's like a baton. I mean, in a race, you know, you gotta hand the baton onto the next, you know, and so forth like that. If you drop the baton, then it's over, you know. So, and if you drop the baton, then you gotta pick it up again and finish the race, yeah, and hand it on to the next one, you know. So we cannot drop the baton. We got to, you know, we got to pass it on to the next generation, you know. So, these things are very important. every generation must pass it on to the next. It must be a perpetual thing before all your generations. He said the same thing in Exodus 30, and I think maybe verse 8 or so, said the same thing. A perpetual incense before the Lord throughout all your generations. He said it also in verse 10 of that same chapter. You know, he said, look, all the things that you need to do, sin offering, atonement, and all these things throughout your generations, it is most holy on the Lord. Now, what I'm bringing out there is how God commanded them to pass, you know, the ordinances on to their generations. So we have covered that. Now, let's look at some of the blessings and how God thinks of our children and how we should think of them as well. You know, we've covered responsibilities, we covered all of these things and so forth. So let's go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 127, and let's read verses 3 to 5. And it says here, children are an heritage of the Lord. This is where we got the text from today. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Glory to God. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, if you raise the children right, my goodness, they will be a line of defense. Glory to God. They will be a line of defense to speak with the enemies in the gate. You know, these are children that are raised with the knowledge of God. Let's look at some, you know, some Psalms quickly. And we're going now into the blessings that we will declare today for our children. Let's look at Psalm 103 and verse 7. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness, glory to God, two generations in a row. Children's children, my goodness, pass on to the children, and then even pass on to children's children. Wow. You know, because we must not allow the bridge to be broken. It is so important. We must not allow the bridge to be broken. If the bridge is broken, then we got to fix it. And we got to make sure that this knowledge is continually passed on. You know, Isaiah 58 verse 12 says something like us, you know, making sure that the next gen is ready. You know, it said, look, they that be of thee shall build the old waste places. They, you know, raise up foundations of many generations. You'll be called the repairer of the breach, restorer of paths to dwelling. You know, the raise up, I mean, you're setting up foundations. You're making the next gen ready. This is so critical. You know, it's not about us just serving the Lord and, you know, leaving our children behind. No, we got to carry them along. Psalm 112. You know, verses 1 and 2. Here are some blessings again that we must declare for our children. We're going to use all these things in prayer in a little bit. Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2. He says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. So let me stop there and say, do you fear the Lord, man or woman? Do you delight greatly in his commandments? Well, if you do, here's a point blank promise. Your seed shall be mighty upon the earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Glory to God. That's a point blank promise. And you know, Jesus, he loved those little children. You know, one time they said, look, you know, when children were coming to the Lord, they were rebuking them. Jesus said, no, let them come unto me. You know, for us such is the kingdom of heaven. And he even said, look, if anyone were to hurt any of these children, it's better that you put a milestone, you know, around his neck and just throw him in the river. He said, look, don't despise any of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven the angels always behold the face of my Father. That's Matthew 18 and 10. Always beholding the face of my Father. You know, God thinks highly of our children, no matter what we think of them. So you better be thinking like God is thinking, you know, Luke 17, verses 1 and 2 is the other one about, you know, if anyone were to, you know, say, look, offenses must come, you know, but, you know, warn to them through whom it comes. If you offend any of these children, you know, it's better that they should just put a stone around that person's neck, cast him into the river. That's how serious it is, you know. So, and there's a lot of things that's offending these children these days. You know, I mean, the generation that we're in, the doctrine of devils that they are passing along to them today, we've got to put an end to this onslaught. And parents have a responsibility to set up a barrier, to lift up a standard and teach our children in the right way. Here are some promises. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 21, you know, the latter part of it. Will give you, you know, some promises for your children. You know, so as we are going through now, the next few verses that I'm going to be reading will be point blank promises for our children. And then we must claim these promises for our children. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. And why? Well, because the man was righteous, so his seed will be delivered. I mean, parents that even have little children and so forth, you know, they go into schools, they will be delivered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When evil is intended, they will not be there. You know, and if anything happens, they will be saved. They, you know, they're not going to be in the way of random shootings and all this crazy stuff. And even, you know, respiratory diseases that are going around and all of these things. God will protect them, just like he protected the children of Israel, even while they were in Egypt. He said, not even a tongue of a dog who walks against them. You know, God put them, he said, look, make a differentiation between you and the children of Israel. I mean, children of Egypt. You know, so your children shall be delivered. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. You know, another blessing for the children, you know, of those whose heart are upright before the Lord. He said, the just man walketh in his integrity, and his children shall be blessed after him. My goodness. You know, so point blank blessings for your children today. Of course, you already know that, you know, I read 22:6 already about, you know, the, you know, train up a child in the way that he should go, and he will not depart from it even when he's grown. That's another promise too. Even though it's an instruction, it's an instructional promise. It's an instruction, but also a promise for follow. We do our part, you know, and God will do his part. You know, and I'm going to tie in a scripture in just a minute, you know, onto that. But first, let's look at some incredible things that God said concerning children. In the book of Acts, you know, chapter 2, you know, God was talking about, I mean, Peter on the day of Pentecost, when he was preaching that amazing sermon that he preached. You know, here are some things that he said, you know, when he was quoting Joel 2:28. In Joel 2:28, the Lord said, I will pour out my spirit among all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Glory to God. So we got to claim this for our children. The Spirit of God must come upon them. They must prophesy. You know, and you can claim your children, claim your grandchildren, doesn't matter. All of them. You know, Jacob, you know, he claimed Joseph's children, Manasseh and Ephraim. He said, these are your children, they are mine. My name shall be upon them. And he claimed them for the Lord. He claimed them for himself. You know, so, you know, this promise is unto you, he said. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2 and verse 39. He said, for this promise is unto you and to your children. You know, so the children cannot be left behind in the outpouring of the Spirit of God. No, this promise is unto you and to your children. And there's point blank promise that he's going to pour out the Spirit. not only upon everybody, but in particular their sons and daughters, your sons and your daughters, you know, shall have the Spirit of God in them. They'll begin to prophesy. They'll begin to see visions and begin to do great things for the Lord. Glory to God. Now, this, you know, this scripture is so key. Jeremiah 31, verses 16 to 17 is so important that even when you think that, when it appears that those children, despite all this promise that the Lord will do this and the Lord will do that and so forth, and those children are not going the right way, and you've been crying and praying for those children, here's what the Lord said, point blank here, Jeremiah 31 and 16. He said, look, thus said the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work concerning the children shall be rewarded, said the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy, because you've trained them. You know, Proverbs 22:6, I told you I was going to tie a scripture into it. This is the scripture. You've trained them, but now they've gone astray. You stand on this word right here. Jeremiah 31 and 16. For the Lord will bring them again from the land of the enemy. It's kind of like the prodigal son. He went away, but God will bring him again. One day he's going to come to his senses. Verse 17 says, and there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. Woo, glory to God. That is so amazing. That's a promise of promises. These children, God will bring them again from the land of an enemy. God will bring them back into their own border. Glory to God. You know, so we got to use that to believe God. You know, and we should never, look, I don't care, you know, where the children are right now. You know, it doesn't matter whether it looks like they're struggling, they're gone astray, they're this and that. You stand in the gap. Glory to God. You stand in the gap for these children. And you say, Lord, you said they will come back from the land of the enemy. That if I train them, they will not depart. But they have departed. And then you say, you know, Isaiah 43:26 say, declare it again. Come, let us reason together that you may be justified. Then you come and say, Lord, you said if I train them, they will not depart. And I have trained them, but yet they have departed. Therefore, Lord, let your word be verified, which you have spoken in Jeremiah 31 and 16 and 17. The word which you have spoken by thy mouth, let it be verified in the lives of my children as it is this day. And you stand in the gap and you say, Lord, bring them back from the land of the enemy. Glory to God. And you pray, you know, and you stand in the gap and you say, let them come back to their own borders, and they will return. You know, God, you know, his work cannot fail. He will do it too. You know, praise God. And it's going to happen even by the force of spiritual arms. You know, that's how it's going to happen. It's not just, you know, going to happen, you know, just like the devil is not going to, you know, give up easily. But God is going to yank them out of his mouth, whether he gives up or not. Listen to Isaiah 49. Let me read verses 24 and 25 of Isaiah 49. Glory to God. Whether the devil gives up or not, it doesn't matter. God's going to yank them out of his mouth. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lockable captive delivered? Yes, absolutely. You know, while these people were taken captive at their will, they went away, you know, willfully from the training that you gave them. The prodigal son went away willfully from the house of the father and went and languished, you know, I mean, squandered his thing in, you know, in harlotry and all kinds of things. Just what, you know, but the father stood right there. Glory to God. And every day he was looking out. He said, when is my son coming back? And he's on the lookout. You know, he might even be asking the older brother, have you heard from your son? And just shrugged his shoulder and walked away. Whose son? I mean, your brother? Yeah, just walk away. But every day, this man is waiting. He's looking and he's believing that he will come back from the land of the enemy. and he'll come back into his own border. Glory to God. And then one day, when that boy was coming from afar, because this man was watching daily at his post. Glory to God. Watching daily at his post for those children, for that one that went astray. He never gave in, never gave up. And he was, when he saw him afar, he said, yeah! You know, and he ran to him. Glory to God. God will bring them back from the land of the enemy. You know, even the lawful captive, can they be delivered? Yes. The Lord said, even the captives of the mighty, Isaiah 49 and 25, shall be taken away from his mouth. The prayer of the terrible shall be delivered. And I will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children. Can somebody say amen to that? Glory to God. Save your children. Hallelujah. And that's your children and your children's children too. I will save them, saith the Lord. Glory to God Almighty. Yeah. Point blank promise. Isaiah 44 and verses 3 and 5. Isaiah 44 and verses 3 or 5. God promised to pour out his spirit upon our children. Glory to God. While we pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground, I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed. Now, you know, just in case you think Joel 2:28 is for the whole world, it's just a generic promise, you know, and so forth, and you're wondering, and the devil tells you, well, you know, your children, yeah, you know, well, that was a promise for the whole world, you know, this and that. This is a point blank promise for your children, your children. Glory to God. I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed, yours. Forget about the whole world, but yours. I will pour out my spirit upon your children, and my blessing shall be upon thy offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. They will be known. Huh? Glory to God. They will be great in the eyes of the Lord. Glory to God. They will do great things. Hallelujah. One of them shall say, I am the Lord. And the other one shall call himself by the name, you know, of the Lord. And they shall subscribe themselves to the hand of the Lord. They surname themselves by God. They say, look, I belong to the Lord. The Lord, my goodness, he said, I am the Lord and I will do this thing. And shall you not know it? My goodness, I will set it in order. You know, I will do it and you shall see it and you shall praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Promises for your children. Isaiah 54 and verse 13. My goodness. You know, if you are getting these promises, paste something in the chat room. Put an amen there. Put fire there. And you are believing God. You are responding and you are believing it for your children. Isaiah 54 and verse 13. Glory to God. You know, this is a point blank promise that God is going to bring the hearts of your children to know the Lord. Why? Because you've done your part. You've done your part. And God is going to do his part. There's no way in the world. We're not going to stand by and let the devil, you know, claim our children. No way. You know, we're not going to do it. I don't care what it is. Shall be taught of the Lord. Glory to God. And great shall be the peace of thy children. My goodness. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression and from fear and from terror. Shall not come near thee. You know, God will, you know, I mean, incredible promises even for your children. My glance. Isn't that amazing? All the things that God can do for us. Isaiah 59. You know, let's read verse 21. The Lord said, look, as for me, this is my covenant that I will make with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee. And my words that I put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, but also out of the mouth of thy seed. Now, out of the mouth of thy seed, from henceforth even forever. So anytime that God's, you know, charging us and blessing us, you know, he puts our children, our children's children right in the mix, you know, and we're not going to lose them to the enemy. No, sorry. We are not going to lose these children to the enemy. I don't care what the enemy thinks he's doing. You know, we are not going to lose our children to the enemy. Praise God. Here's another promise in Isaiah 61 verse 9 that says, your children, they shall be mighty. They will be known. Your seed shall be known among the Gentiles. Their offspring among the people. You know, and all that see them shall acknowledge them that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Whoo! Isn't that amazing? Isaiah 61 verse 9. Incredible promises for your children. Here's another one in Isaiah 65 and verse 23. Now remember, these promises are, you know, God is giving them, but we must enforce them. Glory to God. We have to enforce them. He said, look, you will not labor in vain. You will not bring forth for trouble. In other words, your children that you brought forth out of your womb, especially these for you women, children that you brought forth out of your womb, they will not be for trouble. You know, they will not be in vain. They shall be called the seed of the Lord, the blessed of the Lord, and even their own offspring with them. Your children and their children. Glory to God. Everywhere that God puts this blessing out, passes it on to next gen and even the gen after that. Glory to God. Whew. Lord, I thank you for all of these incredible promises. I'm going to stop it right there because I looked up at the clock and time's gone. And there's a lot more that I can say on and on and on, but I'm going to stop it right there because I want to pray. You know, we need to pray. You know, I have given charge to parents today by the word of the Lord, what we must do. And I have read promises of God that God will send the anointing, the anointing, the spirit of Elijah to bridge the generational gap. You know, so we're going to pray. You know, if there is a disparity, there's a disconnect between you and the next gen, your children, we're going to pray that the anointing of God that he promised to send, to bridge the gap, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and children of the fathers, that God will begin to engineer that in our families, in the name of Jesus. We're going to begin to pray that if the children have gone astray and they've gone to anything other than what the Lord commanded them, glory to God, we're going to begin to pray that God should bring them back from the land of the enemy. Glory to God. You know, so, you know, as many of you as are in the room, we want you to join us on stage. You know, I'm sending invites to anybody that want to join us on stage. Join us and then come and let's declare this thing before the Lord. Glory to God. Concerning our children. My goodness. I don't care where they are. They may not even be physically with you. They may be somewhere else. It doesn't matter. You know, God, these are promises. My goodness. These are promises that God has given us, and we have seen and heard them today. You know, our responsibility is that we must not be like the, Eli that did not train his children and did not restrain them when they were doing bad things. We have a responsibility. We must be like Abraham, who commanded his children after the Lord. You know, if you are in the audience, I don't know who I've sent invites to. I clicked a random name, so just over the place. I think I did. If I haven't and you want to come, just raise your hand. We'll bring you. You know, we want to pray this prayer together. And if you, even if you don't come to the stage where you are, you must be in prayer. You must open your mouth and pray with us. Best if you are on stage with us, you know, you must open your mouth and pray with us concerning these declarations that we're going to make over your children. I don't care if they're grown children. Doesn't matter if they're grown. As long as you are alive, they are still your children. Glory to God. You know, and they will never cease to be your children. Even if they get to be 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, if you're still alive, they are your children. Glory to God. And you have that power in the name of the Lord to call blessings over them by the power of the Lord, you know. And if that's you this morning, let's begin to pray. Open your mic and begin to pray and use these promises that we've declared here today. First, you know, let your hearts be recharged to reach out to this younger generation. You must do that. You know, we can't say, well, you know, this gap, we got to close the gap. Glory to God. And once we in our heart you do that, let's begin to pray. Let's begin to pray these promises. He said, the children of the mighty, you know, the children of the righteous shall be mighty upon the earth. Begin to pray that for your children. Begin to pray that they will be delivered from the mouth of the, you know, I mean, captive. You say, you know, shall the captive of the prey, be delivered and all that. Yes, they will be delivered. So open your mouth and let's begin to pray in the name of Jesus. Go ahead. You know, pray for your children. Everyone that's here. If you're on stage, if you're in the chat, wherever you are. Children to pray. Glory to God.
But I will say, oh Lord, our children, our grandchildren, our offspring, Lord. But I promise us, oh Lord, we pray for them this morning. We lift up our voices in prayer. Lord, that you will cover them. Lord, that they will return from the hands of the enemy. They will not be in the camp of the enemy. Where anyone that has strayed away, Lord, I will bring them back from the camp of the enemy.
In the name of Jesus. The Lord will bring them from the land of the enemy. I don't care where they are. It doesn't matter. The eyes of the Lord are turning to and fro, watching over them. Your children that come from the land of the enemy. The children are struggling. They are confused. In the name of Jesus, pray for your children. I thank you for what you are doing. 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 I thank you for what you are doing
In the name of Jesus. Glory to God.
Glory to God. I'm gonna read this verse unto you. I wanted to post it, but it was a bit too long and I didn't have time to edit it. I'm gonna read it out of Isaiah 49 and verse 22. Hallelujah. In fact, we read some part of it, but I didn't, you know, the Lord said go back and read it from that verse. So I'm gonna read it from verses 22 all the way to the one that I already read. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons, glory to God, in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, glory to God. The promises of greatness for your children, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, their queens, their nursing mothers. My goodness. Shall bow down to thee with their face to the earth, lick the dust thy feet. I may know that I am the Lord. They shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Glory to God. Amen. They shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Glory to God.
Amen.
They shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Glory
Amen.
To God.
Yes,
shall
Lord,
the prey be taken from the mighty? Yes, Amen. I read that already. You know, and the lawful captive deliver, you will not be ashamed because you are waiting for the Lord. My people shall Amen. Never be put to shame. Concerning yes. your children, all of the promises and all of the things we have declared today, glory to God, they shall Amen. Overtake them. Hallelujah. Amen. They shall overtake Amen. You and your children. The Lord Amen. Will increase you and your children more and more in the name of Jesus. Now, before we close out this room, I'm going to ask my wife to declare over this room. Declare over your children's children. Declare over everyone's children and their children's children. All the things that we have spoken in this room today and even more. And let's believe the Lord together. Go ahead, hon.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for the obedience to the word of God in teaching us this morning. We thank God for this topic about our children. So we're going to declare upon our children the word of the Lord that the Lord has spoken. He said our children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of our children. And so shall it be upon our children wherever they are, whatever age they are, old or young. Father, Lord, we pray that your peace will be upon them. Lord, and their great shall be their peace. And you will teach them yourself. You will appear to them, even in their dreams. Lord, you will wake them up, Lord, and teach them the way of righteousness in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, you say you will establish our children and they will be far from oppression. Lord, you say you will not, they will not be afraid for terror. They shall not come near them in the name of Jesus. And you promised us that our children, they are your heritage. They are for signs. They are for wonders. Lord, we pray that our children, Lord, will you put your word in their mouth. They will not depart out of their mouth and out of their mouth of our seed, nor out of the mouth of our seed. Yes, it covers even our grandchildren. Father, we pray for them. As many as have strayed away from you, we pray that you will bring them back from the land of the enemy. Lord, you say you promise that you will bring our children away, back from the land of the enemy. Bring them, oh Lord, bring them from the land of the enemy. Establish their goings. Establish them, oh Lord, in whatever they are doing. Lord, in their businesses, in their schoolwork, they will be above only and not beneath. This is your promise, oh Lord. Our children will be above wherever they are. They will be for signs. They will be for wonders. Lord, they will be lifted up in whatever, if they are playing games, they will be on top. Wherever they are in their school, they'll be on top. When they do exams, they will be on top. Whatever they do, oh Lord, you lift them up, Lord, above their fellows in the name of Jesus. We pray over them right now. And Lord, they will know, they will follow on to know the Lord. They will not depart from things that we have taught them. They will not depart from the house of the Lord. They will not depart from the word of the Lord. They will not go to the land of the enemy. Lord, and if they ever go, you will retrieve them. You will retrieve them from the land of the enemy and establish them in the house of God. Father, we thank you for this children that you have given unto us. We know that they are yours. Really, they are not ours. Lord, we're just at the guidance of these children. Lord, they are your heritage, Lord. And we also, we are your children. You do not have grandchildren. You have direct relationship with these children. And you also command us to suffer our children to come to you, that we should not hold them back. That there's your children come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Father, Lord, our children are the ones that fill the heavens in their attitude. Lord, we thank you for their simplicity. Lord, we thank you for their vulnerability. We pray, Lord, that you will use it to your own glory. Lord, that you will listen to the word of the Lord and follow after you. Let their hearts pant after you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray that their desires will be after you. Lord, that their generation will love the Lord. There's a generation, Lord, that lift up the name of the Lord. They will be the generation that lift up your name. They will not be the generation that will not follow the Lord, but they will follow the Lord in the name of Jesus. They will be in the house of the Lord. They will not be weary, Lord, in serving you. Lord, they will carry on the work that their parents are doing. Lord, they will be a sign to this generation. They will be a sign and a wonder to this generation. They will lift up the name of the Lord in this generation. For that there will be a revival among our children. Lord, you say you will pour out your spirit upon our children. So, Lord, we pray that you will pour out your spirit upon our children. That they will prophesy. They will see visions. They will not do things, oh Lord. That they will walk in the house of the Lord. Father, that your name be great upon the earth. We pray, oh Lord, and we pray for the parents that, Lord, they will not be like Eli. Lord, that they will just slack away in their responsibility and let the children do whatever they like. Lord, and pretend as if they don't know or that they are of age. Lord, we pray that our parents, Lord, will be alert, Lord, in spiritually, physically, that they will open their eyes to see what is going on around them concerning their children. They will not turn a blind eye to those children, blind eyes to their children, but they will open their eyes, open their understanding and see what is going on. Be interested, be involved in their children's life. Lord, they will not just be aloof and say, well, I don't care. Lord, we pray, Lord, that they will care. They will be like Samuel, they will be like Abraham, that taught their children the way of salvation. Lord, we teach our children, and our children will listen. Lord, they will obey. We pray, Lord, even as your word said, that they will honor their father and their mother. Lord, let them give them the spirit to honor, to be obedient in the name of Jesus. Because this is the first promise. This is the first commandment with promise. We pray, Lord, that the promise of long life will be their portion. The promise of goodness, you say it shall be well with them, that it will be well with them. Yes, as long as they do all these things, it will be well with them. Let it be well with them in their work, on their schoolwork, in their career. It will be well with them because they obey the word of the Lord. Father, cause our children to obey. Teach them how to obey. Teach them how to walk in your ways and your path. Let your light shine upon their path, O Lord. We declare wisdom upon them. We declare the wisdom of Daniel to come upon them. The wisdom to understand dark sentences. The wisdom to be able to know things, Lord, that are couched in the originality of all being in the name of Jesus. The wisdom to enlighten their hearts, O Lord. To understand, to mark them, put them above even their peers in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you will help them, Lord, that they will be wise like Daniel. Lord, that they will understand and be able to interpret all the things that come to them, whether in dreams or in vision or even in schoolwork. They will understand math, English, whatever they are supposed to do in school. They will excel. An excellent spirit will be upon them. We declare that excellent spirit will be in their lives in the name of Jesus. On their job, whether they are in a home or whether they are married, Lord, give them an excellent spirit in their lives. Wherever they go, they will not depart from the presence of the Lord. They will continually abide in the presence of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this journey that you have given unto us. They are for signs. They are for wonders. Lord, we bless your name. We give you glory. We know that you will bless our children because we pray for them. They will not die young. Say, none shall cast their young. Yes, none shall cast their young, and none shall be barren in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for all these children that you are giving us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for that powerful prayer. I want to read a few scriptures before we close. This is my final charge to the parents, you know, I posted some of them that I could post. Some of them were too long. So I'm just going to read them now before we close the room. Deuteronomy chapter 4, you know, verses 9. And it says, only take heed to thyself first, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. You know, so we see that God always expects us to, you know, carry that with us to the next gen, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb. The Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days of their life, that they live upon the earth, and they teach it to their children. Glory to God. So let's learn that. Also, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 6. He said, look, these words which I command thee today shall be in your heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And ye shall bind them as a sign upon thy hand, shall be as frontlets between your eyes. That's like, you know, wear them like glasses. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and in thy gates. Hallelujah. You know, so all these things are important. Also, Deuteronomy chapter 11. You know, it talks about the same thing in verses 18 to 21. It's the same thing. It said, therefore you shall lay these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be like frontlets before your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and write it upon the doorposts of your heart and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give it to them, even as the days of heaven upon the earth. Glory to God. So the charge is to us today as parents, to teach them to our children. You know, you have a responsibility. You have an opportunity when your children are still little, you know, bring them up in the way of the Lord. But even as they are growing up, we still have a responsibility to continue to give them the charge of the Lord. You know, David gave a grown son a charge of the Lord. Solomon was a grown son. And all of these people, many of them gave grown children. Eli failed to do that, and we saw what happened. So that was, you know, that should not be our portion in the name of Jesus. Well, I want to thank everybody that has joined us today. We are about to close the room. I'm going to get a quick reaction from those who are on stage. And since you are here, I want to hear your voice. I know you prayed with us, and thank you for being here and praying with us. Thank you, Sister Pearl, for being here praying with us. Thank you, Sister Buki, for being here and praying with us. And thank you, Alexis, for being here and praying with us. Let me hear your reaction quickly as we, before we close the room. Sister Julia, I'll go to you first. God bless you.
Mr. Lord, good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I thank God for this word. I call it the right word, the right season. And I bless the Lord for all these wonderful reminders and even some new revelation from his word this morning. I am taking with me everything that has been spoken. We have prayed, and I believe that God has heard us. But my emphasis today, I'm believing that throughout today, I'm going to just hang on with that scripture in Isaiah 49. As you were reading that, and I thank God that you went back to reread it, because as you were going back, so was my spirit. Say, go back and read that scripture again. And I was right there when you went back too. the Isaiah 49 from 22 to 25. Especially, he says, God will contend with them that contend with us and our children, and our children will serve the Lord. That's going to be my declaration throughout today. You know, I don't care what and where, whatever it is that is holding these children back. You know, we know that they're not where they need to be. We thank God for those of them that are saved already and are in the kingdom, but they are contentions. And the Lord will contend with them that contend with our children. Whatever forces, whatever spirits, whatever is holding them back from giving their 100% to God. Just like you said, sir, we started serving the Lord in our youth. I gave my life to Christ at 18 and on fire for the Lord all through my days before I was married and all that. And even now, still trusting and still going strong for the Lord. I want my children to do the same. You know, the preoccupation with so many things. They can't even join a prayer line for the life of them. They're doing their own little things here and there. And we thank God. But I want the Lord to contend with whatever is holding them back from serving him. That the Lord should contend with those spirits and those spirits. And that we will join force with him in praying these children into God's kingdom. Fully into God's kingdom. That is my thing today. I'm taking that with me and thanking God for them, all the children. And for those whose children have strayed, we have the word of God. And we're going to pull them back into God's kingdom because his word is true. Not a single jot of it shall fall. It says they will heed the voice from the temple. They will not heed the voice from the city in the mighty name of Jesus. So I'm fired up tonight, today again, thanking God for this word in due season and just going in that fire in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your dedication. We thank God for your life. We continue to pray for you and your wife that the Lord will continue to give you the grace and the strength to do the work that he has committed into your hands. And God bless everyone that's in this room. Like I always say, if they come and there's nobody, they cannot preach to walls. Maybe they will. But I thank God for everyone that have, you know, dedicated their time to be here. And may God continue to give us this bread and this grace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you. I will give you the mic now.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Julia. So powerfully said. Oh, goodness. Yeah, God will contend with whatever is holding our kids back. Glory to God. And we continue to stand in the gap. We continue to remind God of that. And he's going to break those gates of brass, cut us under those bars of iron. They're going to come loose in Jesus' name. Sister Pearl. Thank you, Sister Buki. Sister Pearl, you are here.
Good morning. Praise God, everyone. Just give glory to God. Thank you so much, Pastor and Mommy Evo, for bringing the word forth again. This word is very, very timely. My children are teenagers, and their whole lives I've, you know, just prayed and pleaded God for their souls and their lives and just tried to bring them in the way that they should walk. And, you know, as you know, it's easier, a little easier when they're younger to, you know, help them to go stay on the narrow path. But as, you know, they get older, they have to make their own choices. And, you know, I just find myself almost on a daily basis, just pleading with God to help my children to walk in his ways and just fight the good fight till the end. And, you know, I'm going to admit it. It's usually a point of anxiety for me. And although the children seem to be okay, they're coming up against a lot every single day, just a barrage of attacks through friends, social media, you know, just everything. No matter if you put monitoring apps on their phone or whatever, it's constant. And, you know, this teaching was just very encouraging and just comforting to me, knowing that, you know, God has promised me if I raise them up in the way they should go, they'll not depart from it. And even if they stray, they'll be back. So I'm just trusting God. And I just thank you, Pastor, for this comforting word today. By the grace of God, my children will continue to stay and walk with God all the days of their lives and continue to, they evangelize to all their friends and everything. But as you know, the devil is crafty and, you know, he sneaks in there and, you know, even through, I know the devil came against my children. I was just discussing it last night with someone, how my divorce really just took them back significantly, you know, and just praying that God would restore everything that was stolen from them and how things affected them through the divorce. I just am trusting God that things will continue to get better. One of them got closer to God because of the divorce and the other, you know, was shaken a little bit, but by the grace of God, they still loved God. They still evangelized to their friends. Anyway, I know I'm rambling. I'm just trusting God and I'm encouraged. And this was, I'm going to go back and really review all these scriptures and just give it to God and take my children to the altar and just give them to God and trust that they will not depart and they'll follow him. So that's all. I just pray everybody has a blessed day. I yield my mic.
Amen. Thank you so much. Yes, take the children to the altar and every day call them by name. You know, that's the grace the Lord has given my wife and I. We have a family altar every single, sometimes twice a day, sometimes more, you know. But at least once a day in the morning, we stand in that altar, call every single one of them by name, down to our last grandchild, one by one. We, you know, we don't just pray general prayer. You know, we call them out by name. We pray over what we know, that we know about them. What we don't know, we just put it in God's hands. We put them on that altar every single day, one by one. Glory to God. And as you put them on the altar, like you said, God will do his part. You know, Bible says, refrain your eyes from tears. Your walk over these children shall be rewarded. So powerful scripture. I had to hold back the emotions when I was reading that verse. I held back the tears in my eyes. You know, that God will, he will bring them from the land of the enemy. I don't care, you know, where they've been, where they are, and so forth. They come back because God said it. Glory to God. Thank you so much for sharing. And thank you for posting all those scriptures. Sister Grace also. Everyone that posted scriptures, I thank you. But Elisha also posted something. Every one of you, I thank you all so much. Sister Alexa, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pastor Yato. Thank you guys again for bringing a powerful word to the room. This topic reminds me of that scripture in Matthew.
You're very faint.
Can you hear me? Is that better?
It's a bit better.
A little bit better, okay. This topic, it brought me back to the scripture in Matthew 28, where it talks about, you know, God, you know, sending the disciples out, you know, disciples of all nations, where it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And I've always taught my kids, you know, always call them, you guys are my disciples. You know, I believe God is, that applies to us teaching our children. We are to raise up disciples. We are disciples raising disciples. And one of the things that in my life, you know, I've strayed away, but because of the covenant, because of my grandmother, because of my mother, I knew who to come back to. I've always knew to come back to the throne. I've always knew how to pray. So it has always led me back to God. And now I have three small children, 16, 12, and 7. And I'm constantly, you know, speaking the word in them, you know, teaching them how to pray and just explaining the word of God to them. My mother has always told me that's what mothers are for. She would always say that, you know, mothers stay on the prayer watch of all creation. So this word is really awesome, but it's definitely important to cover our children every day and just basically teaching them the word of God, because one day they will grow up and be able to make their own decisions. And I've always told my children, you know, in the time of difficulty, you know, you'll have to do it on your own, and at least you will have the tools to know how to do it. So, you know, this word again is a great word, and I thank you guys, and I appreciate this word. Everybody just have a blessed day, and I yield my mic.
Amen. Thank you so much. I just want to acknowledge everybody before we close quickly. And thank you for sharing that. Yes, you know, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul said the same thing to her, to him. He said, I know the faith, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is also in thee. You know, so, you know, it's good for mothers to stand in the gap and teach their children, you know, pass this faith along. It's a good thing. You know, so, you know, do that for your children. Those who still have young children, make sure you pass it along to them, generation to generation. In the case of Timothy, he started with his grandmother, Lois. I don't know where their father was or the grandfather was, but, you know, the grandmother was the one that we knew that stood in the gap. And also pass it on to his mother, Eunice, and then now we've seen him, you know. So let's continue to do that. And God bless everyone. Thank you, Inka, for being here. Thank you, Brother Charles, Brother Elisha, Sister Grace, Sister Sholakme. Thank you for being here. That's my older sister from Nigeria. Brother Gbenga, God bless you for being there. Alexis and Pearl and Sister Julia. And, of course, my wife, Lady Evan. And I'm going to pray us out of the room now. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with us in carrying out these instructions that we have received today concerning our children, whether young or old. As long as they are still alive and we are still here, we have responsibility to teach them the way of the Lord or to remind them the way of the Lord. Sometimes some of our grown children start to do crazy stuff. You know, we got to remind them of the words of the Lord. We got to constantly, we don't want to be like Eli. So we got to constantly remind them. Glory to God. So, Father, we thank you for the promises. The children that are currently drawn away into the land of the enemy, thank you because you promised that they will come back. They will be brought back into their own border, just like the prodigal son. And God also promised the greatness for our children. He said, your children shall be, you know, thus is the man that feareth the Lord. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. You know, your seed will be mighty. They'll be carried by kings and queens and thrown bright, bear them on the shoulders. They'll be above and not beneath. The Lord will increase them more and more. The greatest blessing is the next gen blessing. You know, when God, you know, increases the next gen after us to be even greater than us. That's what every parent wants. You know, your children should be greater than you. You know, so God will make them greater and their seed after them in the name of Jesus. Thank you all so much for joining us. It's now time to close the room. You all have a blessed day. And by the grace of God, remember, let's keep the fire burning. Leviticus 6:12-13. That's our theme scripture. You know, the fire must be burning every morning. Lay wood again on that altar. Set it in order. And burn wood upon it. So we're coming up, we're coming into this room every morning now to get fired up from the Lord. And God is giving us, you know, different things. It's a different message every day or something. You know, whatever the Lord brings is what we will do. Whatever the Lord puts in our mouth is what we will say. And if you missed yesterday's room, I invite you to listen to it. Amazing room. You know, charge that God has for us for this month of November. Amazing. So you want to listen to that, hit my profile and scroll down. You'll find the room from yesterday. Hit the replay. Glory to God. And if you miss some of this room also, replays will be available in about 5 minutes after the room closes. So God bless you all. Have a wonderful day and go forward today and have dominion. Glory to God. Have dominion over this day. This day shall not have dominion over you. Have dominion over this day. Everything that you want to do, let it come into alignment to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Thank you all for spending your time this morning with us. God bless you so much. And this room will now be closing. We'll see you back here by God's grace if you are able. Join us every morning. We are here. For those in Arizona on the west coast of United States, it's 4:15 a.m. Those on the East Coast is 7:15 a.m. Those in Nigeria and the UK, it is 12:15 p.m. just after the noon hour. So be here and join us every day. God bless you all. Room is now closing in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Blessings, everyone. Have a great day.